Please welcome Artemisia Shine. So if you are going to be homeless, Santa Monica is a pretty great place to live. It's year-round temperature, 70 degrees. It never freezes. It rarely rains. There's a lot of anti-homeless laws all over California, but you don't find that in Santa Monica. There's, in every park on any given day, there's a meal program where people can line up for hot food. Business owners tend to just hose off the doorways in the morning. It's a great place to live. You're not gonna die of the elements. So I was 1920, and I was living in the San Gabriel Valley in a town called Arcadia, across the street from the Santa Anita Racetrack, in a two-story house with 8 bedrooms, and I was the only girl living with 16 guys. And I went to work one day. I was the chief glazer at a ceramic studio. It was like one of those color me mine, you know, people would paint their own ceramics, and I would glaze them. And I worked a double shift that day, and I was taking the bus, and it was quite a ways, and then I would walk 45 minutes from the bus stop back down to my home. And I got home, and we lived in this huge house, and it was offset. It was across the street from the racetrack, so it was way back, and it was built by a jockey, you know, decades before. And there was this long driveway and this, you know, awesome grass-filled yard with these beautiful trees. So you could barely see the house when you first pulled in. And along the front of the house, there was all these trees. So I go to pull into the driveway in my old 1978 Ford Fairmont. That car was born the same year as I was. And I pull up, and all of the guys were sitting on the curb in front of the house, lined up in a row. And the house was surrounded by cop cars. And I pulled in, and they stopped me before I went any further down the driveway, and they said, "Are you Vanessa?" That's my slave name. and I said, "Yes." And they asked me to pull out my driver's license, and I showed it to them, and I said, "Is there a problem?" And they said, "Get out of your car and sit on the curb." And I got out of my car, and as I got out of my car, I looked down the driveway, and the entire front of the house was just burned. And when I had gone to work, somebody was smoking in the garage, and the cigarette flame smoldered until it lit something that burned so hot that it blew out through the window and exploded into the car, which then exploded into the dumpster slash house, and it made it really easy to move. So my mom was living in a little one-room studio in Santa Monica waiting for her unit to be redone. And my grandparents owned the apartment building, and they allowed me to move to Santa Monica until I got off my feet. And I lived in this really cool, swanky neighborhood that I would have never been able to afford if I didn't find myself homeless. And there was a really colorful collection of people that were homeless just on my block. And there was this woman who used to sit at the bus stop in front of my house, and she'd wear these little baby doll dresses. You know who I'm talking about. My mom's here. And she had these bright pink rouge cheeks that, you know, she would paint like she took lipstick and just, you know. And she had this bleached blonde curly hair, sometimes with curls in it. And her skirts were usually like this big, you know. And her hair was wild, and she painted her whole 3/4 of her face with the eyeshadow. And she'd sit on the curb, and she was just really concerned about her other homeless friends that were in need. So she had her own advice column from the bus stop. And so you'd walk by and she'd be like, "Don't forget to wipe!" Or, you know, "It's Friday night, don't be tight!" And she always had these little, you know, things that she would shout obscenely at you as you walked by. There was this other lady that was there for years, and she'd stand on the corner, and she loved my Rottweiler, but she hated me. And when I'd walk by, she would just glow, to see my Rottweiler, but then she'd look up, and you'd see her whole face change, and she'd get really rigid and tight. And I don't know what it was about me that set her off so much, but when she'd see me, she'd start to kind of growl, "I know you're a pimp. I know you're a pimp. I know, you whore." And And there was this other guy who used to live underneath my stairwell off the alley. And at 2 or 3 in the morning every night, he'd put a boombox on his shoulder and march down the alley playing Flight of the Valkyries at top volume. There was another guy who he slept with. It was really sweet, huge smile. He had a bicycle, and he was always doing something. I don't know. He was always doing something with his hands, building or unpacking or creating. And I used to like to make cookies and bring them to the grocery store across the street. There was a Wild Oats across the street. And I would always bring him some, or if I made lunch and I had extra, I would just. So we became friends, and I would hang out and give him food. And one night I got home really late, and I had these floor-to-ceiling louvered windows. And I didn't have curtains, and they were all open. And my whole apartment was like that, like floor-to-ceiling louvered windows. I mean, it was a one-room studio. My mom had moved out of the one-room studio into her place, and I was then in the one-room studio. And they were like, they went like this low. So there was no, like my whole 200 square feet of apartment was visible. And it was really late, and I got home, and I heard this. And there was a dumpster right underneath my window, and I had this woman that lived across the street who was had definitely had like some mental illness, and she used to go through the dumpster, and she was pretty angry and vitriolic and liked to attack the neighbors. And for some reason, I decided I wanted to get in her business and see what she was doing. So I go to the window to look and catch her going through my trash again. She'd get mad at me for dumping my dog poop in the trash can because I didn't use trash bags, and it would get on the stuff that she was trying to pilfer out of the trash can. So I go to look out the window, and I hear, "Eyes out! Eyes out!" And I'm like, well, what is that? Like, it freaked me out. "I see you." And I couldn't see anything. It was just dark. And this person's just below my window, and I'm like, oh, fuck. And where am I going to hide? Like, I've got this one room. And I'm like, I wonder if that's the guy I give the sandwiches to. Like, he knows right. Like, I was so freaked out. And I think my dog was on vacation with my ex-boyfriend. And so there was lots of colorful characters in that neighborhood. And so fast forward, 2 years, I had my son. I was 23. And maybe I was 24 at this point, because he was like one. And he used to like to, as soon as he could walk, he was like one and a half. He liked to march down the street completely naked, and we'd walk around the neighborhood. And we lived on this really swanky street, like it was Montana Avenue, if any of you know Santa Monica. This is 15 years ago. And there was a Pete's Coffee, a Starbucks, a Jamba Juice, and a Yoga Works, and a jewelry store. And all these little tables and people sitting there sipping their coffees. And Bodhi, he had these little jangly bells that we attached to his ankles, and he had a little like amber teething necklace and nothing else. And he just like walked down the street, and you walk in the neighborhood and then you turn onto Montana, and people would react. They'd be, oh my goodness, it's wow, you're a sight for sore eyes. So, he'd wander up and down. And he was really good about the driveways and the streets, so I let him kind of just peruse, wave at his minions. And I didn't feel like I had to be right on top of him, because he was pretty good about staying on the street, on the sidewalk. And so this one day I was hanging out with some friends, and I ran into somebody, I think, and I was having a conversation at this coffee shop, and Bodhi's kind of marching up and down the street, being naked, waving at everybody, making people laugh, be confused, And all of a sudden, he comes up to me, and he's like 14 months old, and he's waving a $20 bill. And I'm like, where did you get that $20 bill? And he's like super proud of himself, and he's got this $20 bill. And so I'm like, where did this come from, And Bodhi was really friendly. I mean, he started talking when he was 4 months old, and we walked down the street, and he would announce, "Dog!" And he would be in his little sling, and he'd kick his feet, "Dog!" To everyone who walked by, he'd introduce. And when the old ladies would walk down the street, he'd be like, "Up, up!" And they're like, "Does he want me to carry him?" I'm like, "Yeah." Like, he'd want to get out of my sling so that some woman could fondle over him. And so he just assumed that everybody was there to see him. And so, he has this $20 bill. He's super stoked. He comes up to me, and I'm like trying to figure out, where the hell did he get this $20 bill? So I'm looking, and I look down, and I'm like, oh, there's this woman sitting, half a block down in front of Pete's Coffee, and she's got her purse on the ground, and it's open. I'm like, oh, I think he just took $20 out of that woman's wallet. So I'm like, oh gosh, okay. So I leave him with my friend. I go over and I'm like, oh, I'm sorry. I think my son might have taken your $20 bill. And she goes, oh. And I was like, oh. And she's like, oh, excuse me. And I was like, is this your money? I think my son might have taken it out of your purse. And I'm like, you know, trying to back away slowly. And she's like, that's your son? And you know, she was just acting really strange and not fully there. And I was like, yeah, I think he might have taken your money. Okay. And she goes, I thought he was alone. And I was like, you thought he was alone? I thought he didn't have anybody. I thought he was by himself. So I'm like, so you gave him $20? Who gives a homeless one-year-old, here, kid, go get yourself a meal, you know? So there's all kinds of ways to help a friend in need.